This episode of the WW Review is sponsored by DVC-Rental.com.
Hello, welcome to the WW Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by two wonderful friends today. I'm joined by Cindy Ellicott and Jenny Berger. It's good to see you, ladies. Thank you for joining.
Hi.
Hi, Jenny.
So I figured what we do today is a good follow-up to our show, which was 451. We're going to do a show number 452 because we started talking about the changes for the DAS, and we realized there are a whole bunch of attractions at Walt Disney World which are very accessible. There are some that are not so accessible, but the conversation started off as, what happened if you were denied for the DAS? And then we went through a text string back and forth, and I said, we have something good here because not every person needs the same accommodations, and there's so many different various levels of accommodation needs and types that we learned. So we're going to explore this today, not from the perspective of you were denied your DAS, but just accessibility in general. So we're going to do the top three attractions at each park and the number one, I guess, thumbs down attraction at each park is how we're going to frame it. But before we start, what's good in our life? Jenny, give me something good. What do you got good going on in your life?
Really? So we are full swing baseball season right now. And anybody that's heard me talk about it before, it's huge in our house. Mm-hmm. So we have two boys and both of them love baseball. We have one that's in the local rec league. And then we have another one that's in travel ball. So pretty much just about every day of the week, we're at baseball in some capacity. In fact, I have been home for about 10 minutes from baseball before jumping on to talk to you guys. But you know, we love it. The kids love it. It's a fun time of year for us.
It almost becomes your life too, doesn't it? Going to and from and your parent relationships established from there. It becomes like a second version of life, doesn't it?
It really does, especially because Owen's the one in travel ball. And so you spend so much time with those families. Like this past weekend, we were out of town for a whole weekend away at a tournament. And so you're with these other families more, you know, in some cases than you are with the rest of your regular family. So they really do kind of become an extension of your life.
So Jenny, you have a lot of weird family relationships. You have your Disney family, you've got your travel baseball family, you've got your real family, you've got all these circles, right?
So I do.
York family.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so I also hear your son's big into singing too. Is this true? Is this the case, Jenny?
This is true. This is tracking. Okay. He is in the shower and he is right above me and he is just letting those lungs go.
Poor Owen. We're embarrassing him in front of everyone. So if you hear singing, it's Owen. So anyways, Cindy, what's good in your life?
I drove 6 hours in the snow today, but I made it through.
Good. That's not good. But you made it through.
Relaxing. I know I've kind of been hitting on this a lot lately, but I'm really just thrilled with the information I've been learning and stuff with the health program that I got hooked up with the health coach through Carrie Hine and Hine Health Associates. And, you know, noticing things like inflammation just basically dropping away, which is amazing to me because I've lost weight before and I've never really lost the inflammation in my hands and in my joints and stuff like that. And to the point that, like, I tried a shirt on Sunday when I was packing because I'm on the road all week to wear with some jeans. And I was like, okay, yeah, it's tight through the shoulders and I'll wear a jacket with it. It'll be fine. So I didn't have to look for anything else. That was Sunday. I put it on this morning and it fits fine. So, I mean, the inflammation is just like kind of dropping away. And I don't remember when I have felt as little inflammation as I do right now. So just that's something that's giving me hope that I didn't have with having a chronic illness for quite a while.
That's amazing. So by a heavier version of Cindy, a lighter version of Cindy, it doesn't in any way reflect the quality of person you are. You're a real special person. But seeing you smile when you talk about those things is really cool, because it's rare you actually mention, I've seen you lose weight before and I've seen you gain weight before. And part of it's related to, you know, your medications. But talk about the inflammation. That's awesome. So look at that smile. It's cool.
Very happy with it and very still kind of in the amazed part of it of, you know, this is actually working the way that, you know, it was going to work. But you know, you always have that in the back of your head that, well, it won't work for me because I've got these issues or I've got that happening. And you know, I've had so many doctors tell me you just got to learn to live with it. That's what it is. So this is to start out right away talking to them and have them say, you know, there is hope that we've seen nutrition, particularly supplying your body with the correct nutrition and eating at the right times and learning about the science and then learning more about habits and stuff like that of why you eat and when you eat and all that kind of stuff. It's really been kind of blowing my mind of what I've learning, because I went into it thinking I know a lot about how to eat healthy. Mm-hmm. And I'm finding out I didn't know very much at all. So
very much at all. Correct. Yeah, exactly. Well, kudos to you for, you know, getting started, because oftentimes that first step is the hardest. So awesome. So my what's good in my life is we went through a little bit of a pet situation this week, a pet emergency with one of my dogs. But here's what's good in my life. So as I came home, I'm just going to use just the words that come to my brain for this. As I came home to discover this pet situation, I found my 12-year-old unprompted trying to clean a pet mess in the hallway on her own. My son has been trying to take responsibility for using eye drops for the oldest dog and all this good stuff. And my daughter was away at school. She's been super responsible and trying to like text us for information. And everyone's contributed in their own way to kind of pull this family structure together. And it's funny, you know what? If there is like something like, oh, dad wasn't feeling well, I don't know if that text would get a response. Oh, Cookie's not feeling well today. Everyone back and forth and whatnot. But you know what? That's the empathy and the responsibility and the love that like you hope that having a pet brings to the family. And it is. And it's there. So I love seeing that. My twins are going to celebrate their birthday very soon. They obviously, they're twins. They have the same day. And we were going to go visit my daughter for a nice dinner. And so she texted us with a really sweet message. She said, you guys are hemorrhaging cash. She goes, it's completely cool if we don't go out to dinner and we'll just celebrate this summer when I get home, which is really big step for an 18-year-old girl to say that. You know, my son would say the exact same thing. So as a parent, Lisa and I are super lucky. We are grateful and thankful, you know, and it seems like the situation's resolving itself. But yeah, what an awesome parent moment. So that's my what's good in my life.
That really is awesome. You should be proud. You guys are raising really good kids.
And Lucille just made the dean's list, so I'm a happy camper. I can't complain. There's a lot of problems in the world and a lot of big problems in people's lives, but as far as my kids right now, they aren't high in the list. They're definitely what's good in my life. So
and kindness and empathy, those are things that they're core of who a person is. So your kids are good kids and that's not going to change. That is an incredible thing to know.
Well, I'll take all the compliments and I will dish them out when I see them for their birthday. So that's awesome.
Make sure you tell them.
All right. So on to our show. So again, we're going to summarize this again. We wanted to create a list, and this list is very interpretive because there's no right or wrong answer other than we did see a few that were not very accessible and they made our thumbs down list. But we essentially went to the My Disney Experience app. And if you pull up any attraction, you filter by the park, you're going to get your list of attractions. And if you scroll down, there actually is a hyperlink and it says accessibility information. You click on it and it tells you what it provides. Does it provide sign language? Does it provide hearing assistance? Does it provide you need to transfer from your ECV to a wheelchair, or do you have to transfer from your wheelchair to the ride vehicle? But there's a complete list for every attraction. And honestly, maybe because I'm ignorant, I didn't know that it actually had that on the My Disney Experience app. So I found it completely fascinating that the list is so readily available. But just using our experience, we're walking through the parks and thinking, huh, Boy, that'd be a real tough one for someone to get onto if you were in a wheelchair. Or that'd be a real hard one to stand outside in the sun for an hour and a half. Or, boy, that one would be a shocker if you needed hearing assistance because it's really loud. Or there's a number of things. So it was fun going through this list today. So let's tackle the parks. We have our top three and we have our thumbs down. And we're just going to go. So if I said, okay, let's do the studios first. Jenny, give me 3, 2, 1, and then your thumbs down. Because I think we're going to share in some of these, and we'll talk about it as we're going along. So, heck, let's use it as a jumping-off point. Jenny, how about we do the studios first? Because I think the studios are the one where we found the fewest attractions, you know, and whatnot. And we'll go from there. So give us your 3, 2, and then 1 best accessible attraction, and then your thumbs down.
Okay. So one is, okay, that is, like, super accessible then, and, like, what? Three is not.
Well, let's save your number one, your most accessible attraction for the last. And let's start with third place, then second place, and then do your best one, and then we'll do your worst one.
Okay.
Okay.
So studios is a little difficult just because there's really not, I feel like, a ton of attractions there. And I'm looking at it from, like, a perspective of somebody that may not be, like, you know, a small child or anything when I was going through my list. So mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1. So for 3, I had Rock and Roller Coaster because that is a long line and you can be out there in the heat for that. And once you get on the ride, you know, anybody that's ridden it knows you blast off and, you know, you're doing your loops and your turns and you're going really fast, but it can kind of shake you up a little bit. And so that, I feel like that could maybe be a little problematic maybe for someone.
Okay. So is that the number one most inaccessible? Like that's your thumbs down one, or is that your third best one for your best accessibility?
Oh my gosh. This is getting confusing. No. So you want my best one then?
Like yes, your best favorite, three.
Like the one that I think, okay.
Because yes. All of a sudden my head just exploded when you said Rock and Roller Coaster is good for accessibility. I was
like, oh, what? I was going on maybe ones that weren't so good for accessibility.
Okay.
So good for accessibility.
Jenny's like, hang on, let me pull up the My Disney Experience app and let me look at this, right? Exactly. Okay, so, hang on, you know what? Let's go with this. Go with your list, because then Cindy and I can counter it with our list. Let's do that. Let's go with what you brought to the table.
Maybe that's a better idea. Okay.
The dubs. We create it as we go on the fly. That's us, baby. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so I went with, like, ones that I feel like if you had, you know, maybe some type of physical disability or, you know, a disability that may prevent, you know, a lot of long lines or being out in the heat. That's where I went with my list.
Okay, great.
So I have Rock and Roller Coaster because I've been in that line in the heat before and it's rough. It's a, you know, that can really wear on you. Mm-hmm. And then when you get on the ride, it can kind of, you know, shake you up a little bit.
And there's no transfer on that one. You have to transfer to the ride vehicle, which is a step down and
right.
A tight squeeze in the bucket with the yeah. harness. So, okay.
And then you have to be able to climb back out after you've stepped down.
I can't do that in the first place.
And then I've got Tower of Terror.
Okay.
You know, they've got, you know, like, really no steps or anything. Like when you get into the elevator, you do go up a little bit if, like, you're in, you know, the back row because it's mm-hmm. stadium seating, but they do have the front row. So I didn't really feel like it was inaccessible to get in, but you do have that long line that winds around outside in the courtyard, okay. Which could cause a lot of fatigue if, you know, you're not able to bypass that in some capacity. But also with Tower of Terror, you know, you're going up and you're dropping. And some people are all in and they've got their hands up and they're like, "Wee, let's go with this." Other people really kind of, some people want to hang on. Mm-hmm. And depending on your disability, that may be a little difficult. Some people may not have that type of, you know, upper body strength or ability to grip and hang on and maybe feel a little more stable.
Great point.
And grounded as they're dropping. So that's looking at it from that aspect, that, you know, that's what put Tower of Terror on my list.
It'd be nice if they had a harness instead of just a lap belt.
Yes.
I think a lot of people would feel more secure with that.
I think so too. And, you know, the counter can be, you know, it's a thrill ride and that adds to the thrill, but looking at it from, you know, a disability or different able-bodied standpoint, you know, a harness, I think, would be a big help. And then the other one on my list is Star Tours.
Okay.
And again, this kind of goes to the more, it's very jerky. It shakes you around. You know, you might want to try to hang on. You've got the seatbelt again. You know, it's, you've really got to be able to hang on, or you can get bounced around and kind of bump into the people around you and things of that nature. So I was looking at it from a standpoint of, can somebody have that type of upper body mobility strength and stuff to be able to hang on?
That's a really interesting perspective. I didn't consider that in terms of, you know, that different abled perspective. And it's one that has affected you guys. So you would know, you're an expert at that, personally. So Right. Yeah, the harness thing at the tower, even if the front row, three of the front row were harnessed, would make a difference. And yes, there'll be a major conversion for those ride vehicles, but it makes perfect sense. If you don't have full mobility in your arms, absolutely, that would be difficult. And yeah, almost maybe a pass, you know, and you'd miss that fantastic story. That's like one of the best stories to be told on Disney property, is that particular attraction story. That'd be a shame. So I do get that. Absolutely.
Right. Now, I will say, you know, and to your point, you know, this is something that has, you know, impacted our family. And luckily, though, you know, we've still been fortunate enough as a family to be able to experience all of these things together. Mm-hmm. But I do see it from that perspective and, mm-hmm. you know, what the challenges are. And, you know, if there was a more severe, you know, disability out there, it could really be problematic.
Yeah, great point. Okay, Cindy, let's go to you then. Cindy, did you make the same list type that Jenny has, or do you have like the third, second, first most accessible, or how did you prepare your list?
Yeah, I went with the ones that probably would be easiest if you had either an invisible challenge, ability challenge, or cognitive or anything like that. And okay. Then I have one that I think is pretty difficult. So alien swirling saucers, I think, is pretty easy. Usually there's not a long lineup. There's a lot of coverage in it, so you're not standing out in the sun. The ride stops for you to get in, and they don't start until everybody's in and buckled and stuff like that. And so I think that one is pretty easy. I don't think that there would be too many issues with you being too overcrowded and in too close of spaces. And I think the relative wait time is shorter on that ride than a lot of other rides. So mm-hmm. that was why I went for that one. I actually said Star Tours is one that would be accessible, but thinking of it from my point of view of not having stairs and ramps and stuff to go up and down. Like my problem with Rock and Roller Coaster is you go up that ramp and you go down that ramp and you go up that ramp and you go down that ramp and you know, you go around and you come back. So, you know, with those kind of issues, that's really difficult. So for Star Tours, for me, I just found that it's easier because it's a shorter line. Again, there's not, it's usually 10, 15 minutes at most. And so even without a, you know, when I'm planning my day and I'm choosing ones to get a pass for, usually Star Tours is one that I'll fit in around, because I know that I can do that wait on my own. Mm-hmm. We can pick it. We can find a time when it's going to be 5 or 10 minutes and I'll be able to still do the ride. The other one is the Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. From a, you know, if you've cognitive and overstimulated, it's not a real noisy and loud and lights flashing and all that kind of stuff cue. And also then when you get to the part where, you know, you get invited in to ride the railroad, if you have a wheelchair or limited mobility, your scooter, anything like that, they separate you and send you to the one side and you don't have to weave your way through that path. And so you get brought in, and it is, again, one where you got to step down into it and be able to step out, but they do have the very sturdy metal rails there for you to hang on to. And the cast members are pretty good at watching. They'll come in and help you out as well. The one that I think is really difficult, and this is from my perspective of not being able to stand for long periods of time, just the line moves fairly slowly. It's not one of those ones that you just keep moving. When it stops to load the train, they got to really secure everything. So, and lots of times there's, you know, younger children and stuff, which take a little extra time, and then they're feeding in the single riders to fill up the extra seats and stuff like that. So the line, it can be a 2-hour wait in that line. And a lot of it is out in the hot sun, like right on the concrete. You are out in the hot sun. You get an umbrella to be under for, you know, 5 minutes, and then you're 10 minutes out in the sun, and then you get an umbrella for 5 minutes. So I find Slinky Dog Dash is one that I won't do if I don't have a pass for it, because I just can't. It would do me, and I wouldn't be able to do the rest of the park.
Mm-hmm. Cindy, I'm going to parlay on a lot of those. Slinky Dog Dash was my no bueno. My number three was Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railroad. Number two is Muppet Vision, because Muppet Vision is pretty accessible. You're going to just find yourself a spot there. My number one is the Toy Story Mania, where you're going to transfer, you know, into the accessible cart. But I do remember there being stairs if you pick the wrong side of the queue, going up and over as you go down. And I also thought about it from the perspective right now with Jenny, where if you don't have full mobility in your arms, that the trigger mechanism, you know, you need full mobility of your arms, but you still can enjoy the attraction. But that would be one that I think is a headliner. There's not too many, I'll just say this, this is what I discovered. There's not too many headliners that are fully accessible in the sense that this is, you're going to get the 100% experience of everybody else. I just don't find that. But I think that Toy Story Midway Mania comes pretty close to that for most people with an accessible need. And you know, that one is always one of the hardest ones to get. It's always one of the longest waits in the park. So that's what I found there. Okay, let's go from there. Let's shoot to Epcot. Jenny, what do you got at Epcot?
All right. So at Epcot, I have...
Now remember, this is the no bueno list from Jenny, right?
This is the no bueno, with the caveat that we as a family still do these, but looking at it from other perspectives. So I've got Soarin' on the list, and that's simply just because of how long that queue is. And, you know, anybody that's been there, like, it feels like that building is never ending when you're in that line, you know, trying to get to your boarding group.
And if you got to pee, it's a long walk back.
It's a long walk. So really, if there's somebody that has a lot of fatigue on standing in lines, luckily this is indoors, so you don't have the heat bearing down on you, which is fantastic, but it is still a very long walk back to where you need to load. Once you're there though, I feel like, you know, it's really accessible. You know, there's no stairs that I can recall, and you just, you know, load into your chair. I also have Guardians of the Galaxy. And this is simply just because of all the spinning and, you know, going around, like it can kind of, you know, jerk you. Not really jerk, but, you know, it's spinning. There's a lot of movement. It's very, very sensory heavy. And I know there's probably a better medical term for that, that Cindy can probably chime in and tell me what I'm trying to say. But, you know, you've got the lights flashing, you've got the music going, you're spinning, there's videos playing. It's a lot going on all at once. And I feel like that could really be, you know, an issue for some people that are sensitive to all those things going on. And then my other one, I'd struggled in Epcot. I really feel like in a way I was reaching, but I have Spaceship Earth. And the only reason I have Spaceship Earth on here is I do know that, you know, like if you're in a wheelchair, they have a separate entrance and they can take you up and you don't have to, you know, deal with the ramp or anything, but you still need to be able to transfer into that car. And when you transfer into the car, you're on a moving platform. So you know, and they will, you know, pause it if they need to, but getting in and out. If you don't have them, stop it so you can move, you've got to be quick. And people, can stumble if they've got some balance issues. It's something I think to really be aware of and prepare for, because you can, stumble and potentially, trip because that platform is moving as you're trying to get in and out.
Jenny, on all the Omnimover platforms, if you're the
That's
second
true.
person in, it's
Yeah.
difficult on all of those. And the
It
spaceship
is.
Earth, I guess you'd say the loading zone,
Right.
that's a small loading zone. That's a very
Yes.
tight circle in there.
Yeah, you
So
got to be quick.
you gotta be quick if you're number two in any of those. Exactly.
Right.
Good
Yeah.
point. Those are all good points. Cindy, what do you got on yours?
So we kind of aligned with that as well, where I went with like Grand Fiesta Tour as one that's pretty accessible because, again, if you have a wheelchair or anything like that, they immediately, right at the start of the line, they put you off to the one that's a wider one because the other queue is pretty narrow and you're pretty packed in. So, and even without a DAS, they will do that. So if they see that you've got a mobility device like I have, or a wheelchair or scooter or anything like that, plus when they're loading the boats, if it's somebody in a Brota chair or something like that that needs to can't transfer out of their chair, they actually will wait until the boat comes up that has a push-on platform, so they can put them on and secure them on a flat platform. They can still do the ride, and there's no stepping up or out or lifting up or out or anything like that. So I put that one as one that is quite accessible, and I think most people should be able to do it. Ratatouille, I think, is one that's pretty good. It's not a real long lineup in it, like in dark, loud, where there's a lot of stimulus and stuff going on that's going to set off your hypersensitivity. And I put Soarin' as one that would be accessible because looking at it from a point of it's gentle slopes to go up, and it's a gent you just go kind of go gently up the slope. It's longer, so it can be wearying. But like Jenny said, once you get there, then you're not a long time in that real close queue. So if you have issues with being anxiety, being close to people, it's open, it's light, it's bright, it's not closed in. You can kind of move around the chains and stuff like that. And so you're not going to be pushed into, crammed into, like you get into a haunted mansion and you're crammed into that dark, that kind of thing. So I was thinking that that's probably a lot better for people. And again, it's a brightly lit loading platform, so it's easy to see to get in and out and that kind of stuff. And they do provide assistance for anybody that they've always assisted me when they see that I've got the walking boot and stuff like that. So those were my three that I thought were pretty accessible for Epcot. And I went with Guardians 2 as one that I thought was really not accessible if you don't have a Lightning Lane or a DAS, because you have to walk so far in that queue. Like you sometimes start outside and then you go up and around and down, and you're just walk. Like I had the DAS one time and I didn't realize that when your time came, you had to go over to the Lightning Lane and go in the short way. And the cast member just said, "Yeah, you're good, go." And so I went, ended up going in, and by the time I got through that whole queue and got to where the ride was, and then of course you get there and there's steps. There's all the way down. You got to go down to the steps, then you got to go down more steps, and then you got to get there. When you go through the DAS, then they catch you and take you off. Like if you're through the Lightning Lane, they catch you and take you off to the elevator that goes across and down. So then you get off the elevator. So if you did not have a DAS or a Lightning Lane, that would be impossible, I think, for most people that have any kind of a cognitive challenge. Anybody that has just an inability to wait, you can't get out of that line either because it's on curves and it's on different levels. It's not like you can just walk out and escape. So it's not an easy, you got to walk all the way back through that whole line if you've got to get out to take a kid to the bathroom or go to the washroom or anything like that. So that was my pick for the least accessible.
Great point. In
And
my, I'm sorry, go ahead, Jenny.
Oh, I was just going to say hypersensitivity. That's the word I was looking for, Cindy. And as soon as you said it, I was like, that's what I was trying to say. So thank
Well,
you.
okay. How about hypersensitivity? How about mission space for being inaccessible? Not only the attraction itself, the spinning, motility of that attraction, but also, I mean, you have to fit into that space. You have to kind of hike up into that actual centrifuge. It's not designed for someone with accessible needs at all. But in terms of things that are good, Journey into Imagination, it'll accommodate you well. As a matter of fact, whether or not I thought I saw where you could remain in your wheelchair into that, but I've never seen that actual vehicle come through in the loading zone. But I know it stops, and I know it's exceptionally large inside that vehicle. So in terms of like feeling comfortable, not feeling squished like Spaceship Earth, Journey to Imagination is pretty good. I have the Grand Fiesta Tour, and then I kind of took the easy way out, thinking about the O Canada show and the France Pavilion show, because it's an attraction of how accessible they are when you go in through the exit. So yeah, I thought Canada was the first one that I actually, but you got to take my tip. You just got to go and stand at one end. You got to cut off 15% of the theater and just capture 85% and face one direction. If you stand in the middle and you try and spin around and capture the whole movie, you're going to get sick. So just accept that you're going to miss 15% of the show. You're going to catch 85%. You're going to enjoy yourself. That's at least how I do it. So, okay, Jenny, let's go to Animal Kingdom. What do you got?
All right, so Animal Kingdom. I had a dinosaur, and I will say that it's like my favorite and Sean's favorite ride in Animal Kingdom. So putting it on the list, I was a little conflicted because I'm like, I'm putting it on this list, but it's also our favorite. But this is another ride that can get very jerky. Plus, you've got to go down steps to board it, and get into the vehicle. And hypersensitivity, it gets very dark in that ride. It gets very loud. You have dinosaurs coming at you. It can be scary. Anybody with anxiety might, have that a little bit triggered with, the lights going out and the dinosaurs, roaring and things like that. But at the same time, it's a really cool ride. So I was conflicted, but I felt like I still needed to put it on the list.
Jenny, it was my thumbs down was dinosaur as well, for
Was
all the
it?
same reasons you had there. It made my number one. I was like, yeah, that's not a good one for accessibility in the first place. The step up and it's a tight squeeze. So it made my number one thumbs down.
Okay. All right. Good. Things were aligned. I have Expedition Everest because, that one has a long queue. A lot of it's outside. Once you get into the building, though, it does. I feel like it moves pretty quickly. But then you're going to need to be able to get down into that ride vehicle. This is another one that, you kind of climb in and out of. So that's what made it on the list there.
And it's small.
It is very small.
It's a
It's a
small fit.
very small fit. And then I have Flight of Passage. And Flight of Passage, this one, again, you're on it and you're kind of leaning forward and you're riding the Banshee. But again, if you're somebody that may not have the full mobility and use of, both arms and or even balance issues, I could see how it might make someone feel off balance. And then, you can get some people get dizzy looking at that screen. And I think if you already go into it with some balance issues and then you get a little dizzy, that can kind of compound or aggravate the situation a little bit.
Valid, absolutely valid.
I think the walk up for Flight of Passage again is intimidating. I mean, it's so long. There's a lot of it outside. And Animal Kingdom, we all know, is 10 or 15 degrees hotter than any other park.
Yes.
And, they realized there was an issue with people needing washrooms to the extent that they actually put a washroom partway through the queue. But that doesn't help if you've got anxiety or stress or something like that, and you just get a panic attack and you need out of that line. There's no
Right.
escape. You're a long time being able to get your way out, which just makes it worse and makes it worse. So I agree with that one. It wasn't the one that I put on my list as the worst, but I agree fully that that one is not meant to be accessible for pretty much any of accessibility issues. It would fail without the DAS.
I agree.
Cindy, what is on your list?
So for the ones that were accessible, I went with Knobby River Journey is number 3. Again, it's a nice cool in there. It's not hot. You go through you're going downhill mostly. There's not a lot of uphill that you have to walk. And then you go, they also have a boat there that they can wheel you on, or they have the assistance to get in and out of the boat. And it's a gentle ride, just floating down the river and, you know, beautiful and stuff like that. So I think Knobby River is pretty accessible. I went with one of the shows, Finding Nemo, the Big Blue Beyond and Beyond, because you do have the separate entrance there for if you have mobility issues, if you have a scooter, anything like that. Again, you are in the air conditioning. So the difference between that show and Festival of the Lion King is for Festival of the Lion King, you have to be lined up because they take the people from the DAS line in ahead of time. So you have to be there, even if you have a DAS or a pass, you have to be there half an hour to 45 minutes before the show starts so that they can get you in and get you seated. And then half an hour or 20 minutes before the show, they start letting the rest of the crowd come in. So it is a long wait if you have issues waiting. The other thing is it's really difficult to leave during the show. You have to get cast members' attention and have them escort you out, which, depending on where you're sitting, isn't always easy to be able to leave during the length of the show. So that was the reason I didn't have that one. Whereas with the Big Blue and Beyond, you can leave. They don't, you know, you're not closed in. If you have to leave, to the washroom is just right outside the door. If you're having a panic attack, you can go out, but there's air conditioning. There's the stimulus is not like flashing lights and, you know, loud noises. There's show and there's singing, but it's almost soothing in a lot of the lyrics and stuff like that. So I found that one was one that I thought was really good. And then I really only had 2 that I thought were really accessible. I find Kilimanjaro Safari is the one that I listed as the one that is the most difficult. And again, thinking of it from the perspective of the distance you have to travel through that queue, how long the lineup consistently is. You can never find a time when there isn't a lineup because it closes an hour before the park closes. So there's a rush for people to get in and get on that ride. And you're in and out of the hot. There's no air conditioning. They have fans up on the queue and stuff like that. It's really tight even to get through with your mobility device and stuff like that. So if they don't allow you to go around, like if they say mobility devices don't need the pass, so you have to go through the regular queue, you're going to have a lot of people getting backed into and ran over by scooters and, you know, have walkers pushed into the back of their legs and stuff like that. And then once you get on the ride, there's no escape. You're on that ride for 20, 25 minutes, depending on if animals stop or something like that. And you can't get off. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. So I know people who have anxiety and that they choose not to ride that because they're just so anxious about what happens if they can't get off it and they need to. And so that was the one I think is the least accessible in Animal Kingdom. But I think to me, like Everest is not accessible. The Cali River Rapids is not accessible. I don't think there's a lot. I didn't think dinosaur is accessible. I just don't think that there's a lot that is really accessible other than the shows in Animal Kingdom, because the, you know, Feathered Friends show, easily accessible. Going and watching when they had the kite show or anything that's in that round theater, that's easily accessible. There's wheelchair parking and scooter parking and stuff like that. You want to watch the cavalcades come down the river, there's lots of spots to go and do that. So the shows, I think, make up the difference in Animal Kingdom, but there's not a lot of rides that if I didn't have the DAS, I'd be able to do.
Cindy, I'm glad you brought that up, because Kilimanjaro Safaris made my list of most accessible, but I didn't consider the perspectives you gave. So I was only considering the perspective of there's a wheelchair loading platform. there's a wheelchair. I mean, you don't need to transfer from your wheelchair to the seat. So I was only thinking of from that perspective, but not the other perspective. So I did list them as most accessible, but you are right. As far as length of attraction, that is a commitment I didn't consider. So they made the list, but all valid. But if you do, if you didn't want to transfer from your wheelchair, you couldn't. You have to transfer from your ECV to a wheelchair, but your wheelchair can load directly onto the vehicle. So I have the Wildlife Express train on the conservation station as very accessible. Again, they'll assist you and accommodate you with that. And, you know, it's tough to be a bug. You know, the theater, I mean, that's accessible in any variety. There is some 3D action going on, obviously, while it still is active, you know, that attraction. But as far as accessibility goes, you know, they're going to load and it's going to be it's never going to sell out. So you could literally get into line 8 minutes prior to the show opening and find yourself in a respectable spot. And then, of course, Dinosaur. You know, I did put Dinosaur on there as my least accessible. So
my thought with Kilimanjaro, like I realize they've got the wheelchair accessible trucks that they can load you right in the wheelchair. But if you had to use the regular queue, if there was no other access for you, having that truck wouldn't matter because you couldn't get to it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So if they were going to say that mobility issues don't give you a reason to have a pass, then that would be a ride you couldn't do if you were in a scooter, wheelchair, anything mm-hmm. like that, because you mm-hmm. couldn't get to the truck.
Okay, let's hit up the headliner. Let's go to the Magic Kingdom. This is where, obviously, the majority of the attractions are. So mm-hmm. let's see what we got. Jenny, give us your list here.
All right. So I have Haunted Mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And I put that on there because once you get through the stretching room, it's just a cattle call that squeezes you into, like, this very tight single file line. People are, like, you know, pushing and elbowing, and they're all trying to get up there. It's dark, it's hot, it's tight fit. I could see anybody with anxiety really having an issue there. Also, when that line is long, you know, you could be outside all the way down, you know, by the water. Mm-hmm. With the heat, you know, bearing down on you. So Haunted Mansion made the list for those reasons.
They do cover that queue though pretty well. They did put that cover out there.
They do, but it could be a long wait. But the real thing that really pushed me to put it on the list is when you get out of that stretching room.
Oh yeah.
And you're just trying to get to the ride vehicles. It's dark and crazy and
in many ways, it reminds me of the I-4 traffic, or if you live in any big city, any like rush hour traffic, it literally yes. is might makes right. Who could push harder from the left side or the right side is who
yes.
gets me. And yep. it's like, oh gosh, I don't have to deal with this.
Yep. Attention.
So, okay.
And then I have Space Mountain, and really because you've got to be able to climb down into that car
mm-hmm.
and I feel like that's really awkward because it's a very tight fit. It's narrow and you're trying to get your legs stretched out. You got to be able to climb back up. It's not very easy to get in and out.
Right. Wait, everyone's like, oh yeah, I agree. Even if you're listening right now, you're like, yeah, that's a pain in the butt for sure.
Yeah. And so I feel like that's not the most accessible vehicle mm-hmm. for people to get in and out of. But my number one attraction at Magic Kingdom that I felt like really should make the list is the Swiss Family Treehouse.
Yes, me too. Yes. Most inaccessible attraction in the history of attractions.
Yes. And, you know, just it's not, you know, scooter or wheelchair accessible, and it's climbing and walking and, you know, if you get up there, you can get a really nice view of the fireworks out of the way. You know, I lucked out with that one time, but it is not, I feel like, accessible friendly by any means.
I don't know the exact step totals, but you're talking in excess of 100 steps, both up and down, more than that, 150, 200 steps. Mm-hmm. It's a length and it's not linear. You go up and then you come back down. Then right. you go up and then you come back down. Then you have to turn. And by the way, there's a little you know, quagmire of people over there. You got to go around and squeeze around and whatnot. So, yeah, exactly. Okay. Cindy, what do you got on your list?
Okay. So for most accessible, or I'll go about it the other way. Jungle Cruise I have as my third most accessible, because they watch for you when you come down that slope. And if you have any kind of a mobility or anything like that, even if you don't have a DAS pass, you can go and talk to them and they will take you through that back entry, which is only about 10 feet long, and they'll get you onto a boat right away. And you can even say to them, like, we have anxiety, or that my child has autism. Even if you didn't have a DAS pass, they take you through that. That is what that line is for. And they also have a boat that, you know, they can put the wheelchairs, roll the wheelchair right onto and secure it. So I have that one as being accessible. I have the Liberty Bell as being one that is enjoyable and very accessible, because you can just roll onto it and be on the bottom floor. And, you know, even I know once you get on it, you're on it, you can't get off, but there are places you can go. Like, it's not always packed full of people that's going to kind of bring on that panic attack or anxiety. You can get some fresh air, you're in the sunlight, that kind of thing. And then I have the carousel as the most accessible one, because they have the benches. So you can either roll on the wheelchair and be secured at the end of the bench, or you can transfer from the wheelchair and sit on the bench and as the horses and go around on the carousel as well. So I have that one as the most accessible. For inaccessible, I honestly think that there's a whole pile of them that shouldn't be, because they're kids' rides, but yet they would be inaccessible as far as if you had any kind of issues like Dumbo and ones like that. They're just not easy to get in and out of. They're very cramped little seats. The Barnstormer train roller coaster, the same way. All of those, they're very hard, even for children, if they have any kind of a muscle issue, to get them secured, because the parents can't ride with them. There isn't room. But the one I chose was Big Thunder, because even when you have the pass and you have access and you've got a mobility issue, the only way to get in is to go backwards against the line that's coming out. So you got to go in there and they kind of have to force their way and get your way past all of them. And then you go backwards to the other side and you load on the opposite side, and then you got to unload on the opposite side. And it's just, I think it's dangerous, actually, because they're not watching very closely. And, you know, kids are running and stuff like that, and there's equipment running there. When you're trying to go across, you know, I've got a walker or something like that, and I'm trying to go against the crowd to get in, and then they make you leave your walker at the rail. So now you're walking without a walker, and it's not a very far away, but there's still kids and everybody running, just pushing to get to their next ride, coming out of that entrance as you're going in. I don't feel very safe. So that's why I put Big Thunder.
Cindy, it's on my list as well, but it's on it for a different reason. That's valid. It's on it for a different reason. If you had to go through it, there's a pretty, I don't want to say severe, but there's a noted ramp as you load into the train. Not to mention, it is the smallest dang fit of any of the coasters I've been on at Walt Disney World. We have some friends that are bigger dudes. Murray struggles to get into that attraction. That is a tight fit.
It is a very tight fit.
So that's what I was thinking. But I also put Astro Orbiter on there as the no bueno, because good luck getting inside and out of the Astro Orbiter. You know, that is not good for accessibility. But we matched on a few of the ones that were good. Liberty Square Riverboat, perfect. Get right on and right off. Roll right on and right off. Jungle Cruise, again, very accessible. But number one was It's a Small World, because I've seen the boat come by, and they will load you into that boat if it's just you and your family, no problem. Or you and your significant other or park friend for that day. And as far as the ramp goes, it's pretty manageable.
They even have an accessibility access that, again, you don't have to have a pass to use.
Great.
If you're in a scooter, wheelchair, you've got one of the tags, strollers, whatever, you go to the other end and you're allowed to, it's not the lightning lane, so you're not going through the lightning lane. It's a separate accessibility access, which is a very short ramp, and you're loaded on under controlled environments. So if you need more time to load, secure, get yourself settled, I like Small World too.
And I also wrote in there, the queue is indoors. It is. It's covered. It's a covered queue for almost the entirety of the attraction, unless it was an extremely busy day and you managed to push outside. But so that made the list for me. And then, yeah, Swiss Family Treehouse. That's almost, I love the attraction, but it's almost comical of how inaccessible. It feels like a very European attraction, which obviously it, you know, from the book being shipwrecked and whatnot. But, you know, in Disneyland Paris, there's a lot of attractions that I wouldn't even put as anywhere near accessible. It felt like a Disneyland Paris attraction. So to me, so. Okay, so that was good. That was a good experiment there. Jenny, your list was fortuitous. I didn't know if that was going to be the way it played out, but I like you exploring the ones that weren't as accessible. So that worked out great for us.
Well, you know, I misunderstood the assignment, but.
You aced the assignment. Are you kidding me? It was no problem. It was perfect.
But I did, you know, try to just put myself in that, you know, perspective and, you know.
Well, this is going to be useful because people are going to have questions on the DAS and the changes for the DAS. Now, if you didn't hear the first show, it's number 451. Go back and listen to it. Cindy explains all the upcoming changes for the DAS. And, you know, that's still a evolution. There's still changes being revealed, and there will continue to be changes for that program. But, you know, this perspective at least gives you ideas if for some reason you can't obtain a DAS, or if you're wondering, I got three people that visit the parks and they all say that X, it was no good. So at least we try to give perspective on that today. So we encourage you to join us. So we have a friend group. We have a listener group called EDCOT, E-D-C-O-T. We encourage you to join us there. We talk about this. We have fun. We talk about life in general. Nothing is too serious. Nothing is drama filled. It's just a good, wholesome Disney group. Please do join us there. And if you have any questions, feel free in EDCOT. You can talk to Cindy. You can talk to Jenny. You can talk to the other magnificent girls from the Royal Court Review. You can talk to Sandra or Jen Bachman if you have questions. We have a lot of resources for you in our group. So that being said, we hope we entertain you today. So for my friends Cindy and Jenny, we'd like to thank you. I want to wish you a great day.
Good night, everybody.
Goodbye.